Good morning, and once again, glad to be with you this morning. As always, looking forward to spending time in God's Word. And as we do, as we often do, we'll just spend a moment to look back at where we've been so that we're all on the same page as to where we're going as we're going through the book of Exodus together. And as we do so, as we always say, not interested in my thoughts on God's Word. We don't want to settle for anyone else's thoughts on God's Word, but our hope is that we know God's thoughts and that we would not only know God's thoughts, but know how it is, as we understand them, how it is we're called to live before Him. And so this morning, we'll do that very thing. Let's pause for a word of prayer, and then we're going to dive right in and see where we go from there. Lord, thank you. Thank you that, again, we come to a place where we worship a living God. I just pray that, again, this morning that we would open our hearts and minds, that we would humble ourselves to hear from you. I pray that anything not of you would just go in one ear and out the other, that this morning we would only cling to those things that are from you, that are from your voice, that as you put your thoughts, your truth, your righteousness within us, that we'd allow those seeds to be planted, that it would grow the very fruit that we often long for, that we would know you. And we thank you that from the beginning of time, as we read your word, you're a God who's chosen to declare your glory, to be known. And I thank you that you are not a God that plays hide and seek, but wants to be plainly known in each of our lives. I just pray that this morning again, that we would be open to hearing, as we would be listening with our hearts and minds and allowing you to speak. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, for those who've not been with us, for those who have, we've been looking at the book of Exodus, and as we've been doing so, looking at the fact that God has us on a journey. And as God calls each and every one of us, He often interrupts us and reveals Himself to us. And wherever there's revelation, revelation demands a response. And today, as we go about our day, God is being revealed day by day, moment by moment. And it tells us, as we've said and read before, that if every mouth would be shut, even the rocks would cry out. And so wherever there's revelation, it demands a response. God is always speaking. The real question, are we listening? And as we've looked at the book of Exodus together, as God speaks, if we are listening, He calls us. He calls us on, He calls us out into a journey to take us out in order to lead us in. And in Moses' case, He was calling him to take him out of the land, to bring His people out of a land into a new place, out of a land of slavery into a place of freedom. And in our lives today, what often, as we read in Scripture, was a physical picture of spiritual things, today God is calling us out to lead us in. And today, we trust, as always, He's going to put His finger on yours and my heart and remind us of those things, what He's calling us out of today. Because today, there are many things, and though we might try, humanly speaking, to escape our own self, our own weakness, our own hurts, our own situations, our own circumstances, God is longing us, not just to save us from our circumstances, not just to change what we're in or where we're at, but to lead us somewhere. And that somewhere is to be in a place with Him. And so, as we read this morning, we've been looking at Moses' response. And for those who were here last week, we looked at what we talked about was what was holding us back. Moses was called to go and lead a people. Though, as he got God's instructions, we read these words. Moses said, Exodus 4, verse 1, "What if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" As we looked last week, we looked at Moses' hesitation. He saw God's will. He heard God's instructions. But instead of follow, instead of go, he stopped. He stalled. Why? What if? And last week we looked at what may well be holding you back. If your last failure is stopping you from tomorrow's victory. because what we did in our own strength last time, we assume will come to the same effect, when the reality is if we are fighting with God's strength, in God's time and in God's will, there will be victory. We looked at the fact that God was preparing to do something for Moses, though for many years Moses had been trying to do for God what God was hoping to do for him. And so, as we read on today, Moses, as we finished off last time, the real thing Moses missed was not God's will. He was not going to miss seeing the people free. That was God's work. God was preparing it. But when God said, and I remind you, God said, go and speak to Pharaoh. What was Moses' response? No, I've not been eloquent even from my youth. And what did God say? Moses, go and even I will be in your mouth. I will give you what you are to say. Moses said, I'm too weak. God said, no problem. I'm strong enough. I'm with you. I've got you. And Moses said, no, not enough. And what Moses missed that day was to see the greatness that God could do, what God was prepared to do in him, despite his weakness. And sometimes I think God calls us out, God calls us to something. And because of our own frailty, our own weakness, and our own mindset that we can't, God never intended us to, because it was all based on what he can do, not what we can do. He said no, and he missed seeing what God was prepared to do, even speaking through him. And today, as we did last week, we're reminded that we often need to look at our own weakness and know that God is calling us not according to who we are, but according to who he is. As we look this morning reading on, today we want to look at the continuation in looking at the day of little things. And I hope that comes clear by the end. It says this in Exodus 4. I'll reread verse 1 and on into 2 and following. Moses said, what if they will not believe me or listen to what I say? For they may say, the Lord has not appeared to you. The Lord said to him, what is in your hand? And he said, a staff. And he said, throw it on the ground. So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. Moses fled from it. But the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand, grasp it by its tail. So he stretched out its hand, caught it, and it became a staff in his hand. That they may believe the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Now as we look, as I mentioned shortly last week, notice God said, what is in your hand? So often, I find myself waiting for God to do something miraculous, to stand in my way. And we've read the Bible and heard about angels standing in a fiery blaze in someone's path, mules talking to people, whales swallowing disobedient prophets, right? And often, I'm looking for those amazing miracles to change my course, to change my way, to motivate me to move. I love the fact that now Moses, a shepherd, and whether it was a shepherd's staff or a walking stick, when God calls him and he says, what if, God says, what's in your hand? It didn't have to do with something he needed more of. It was already there. God was prepared to work through the simple and the simplistic. And God was going to give him a sign and a symbol of authority that it would be clear it was not every time Moses did a miracle, it was not by his hand that these miracles happened, but the God who was behind him. That staff would later be used for striking waters and making them into blood, to part the Red Sea. That staff would be used to strike a rock and bring forth water. God had used a simple staff, but it would become a sign of God's authority. I want you to listen when it tells us in Exodus 4 about Moses carrying on and verse 18. It says this, Moses departed and returned to Jethro, his father-in-law. He said to him, please let me go that I may return to my brethren who are in Egypt and see if they are still alive. Jethro said to Moses, go in peace. Now the Lord said to Moses in Midian, go back to Egypt, for all the men who were seeking your life are dead. Moses took his wife and his sons, mounted them on a donkey, and returned to the land of Egypt. Moses also took the staff of God in his hand. The Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you perform before Pharaoh all the wonders which I have put in your power. Isn't it interesting that the author took time, that not only was Moses taking his wife, taking his children, but that in his hand he took the staff of God. What once was Moses' simple staff had now become what? The staff of God. You see, today, and this week, God's been reminding me throughout the week, what are you waiting for? Often I'm waiting for more. More money, more time, more freedom, more ability, more mobility. And yet, often when I meet God and He calls me into something, it's not based on what will be, it's based on what is. And God is saying this, listen, you don't need anything more than what you have now. What's in your hand? The little I bring to God today can be great if it's given to God. A simple staff can become the staff of God. The mundane can become the miraculous. But I wait. I wait for more. Here's me. If only I had a bigger home, I'd engage in more hospitality. If I had a bigger car, I'd pick up more hitchhikers. I don't want to sit too close to them. That's dangerous. And they might smell funny. If I had a bigger car, I'd take more. If I had a bigger home, more hospitality. If I had more money, I'd give more money. If I had more time, I'd spend it at the soup kitchen. I'd do the right things. God, if only I had more. Here's God. I'm not asking you for more. What's in your hand today, now? Throughout the scriptures, we read and we look that God is longing for us to give not what we do not have, but out of what we have. Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 when he talks to them about giving for the needs of the saints. He says, finish doing also, so that just as there was the readiness to desire it, there may also be the completion of it by your ability. Paul, writing this church in Corinth, said, listen, I know you long to give to the needs of those in Jerusalem. I don't want you just to want to do it. I want you to complete it and finish doing it. He goes on and says this in verse 12 of 2 Corinthians 8. For if the readiness is present, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For this is not for the ease of others and for your affliction. What's he saying? I'm not asking you to give today just so you can be in affliction, just so you can be impoverished. And I'm not asking you to give today just so others can be at ease. He says, by the way of equality. He goes on and says this, at this present time, your abundance being a supply for their need, so that their abundance may also become a supply for your need, that there may be equality. As it is written, he who gathered much did not have too much, and he who gathered little had no lack. What was Paul asking? That as they pressed forward today, that they would give out of what they had, not out of what they don't have. When you're called to give today, it is not to rack up debt on credit cards, that you might give more to God. No, here's what God's calling you today. out of what he's given you. And if you will be faithful to give to God what out of what he's given you, there's no telling what he can do with it. What to you is little is great to God. Think back through the scriptures. For those of you who've read, and think about the many times we've read. How about in Matthew 14 and verse 13, where we read about the boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. John's recount in John chapter 6 of that very story, when the disciples came and Jesus said, "You feed the crowds." Do you remember what they said? They brought the boy, and here's the response. "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are these for so many people?" He shouldn't even have brought them. Why did he even volunteer them? Because little offered to God can become a great work if we would allow it. And for some of us, if you're like me, I don't have a lot of much of anything except land, which takes all my time as a farmer. I don't feel like I have anything to give. And when there are opportunities to give, what I can give, here's my default reaction: it's not enough anyway. Why try? Why bother? But the little can be made a lot. Mark chapter 12, we read this. He sat down opposite, verse 41. He sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. Many rich people were putting large sums. A poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which amount to 1 cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of the contributors to the treasury. For they all put out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on." God wasn't looking for great things, great gifts, great amounts. God was simply looking for the availability of the little amount that you may have. You see, this is the 5 loaves and 2 fish, the 2 copper coins, or it's the 5 smooth stones in the sling of a boy before the giant Goliath. When the king said, "Who dares go up against this giant?" And David said, "I will. I will." Saul's response? No soldier would. He's been a soldier from his youth, but you're just a youth. But you see, David knew something that day, and that was this: that it wasn't his battle. It wasn't his fight, but God's, and God's alone. And he was able to look back at all the victories that God had given him, God's incredible faithfulness, from the day of his birth till that day there and then. Remember, the God who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear while shepherding his father's sheep, this God will also save me, and this giant will be like one of them. He knew whose fight it was. If you go back to 1 Samuel 17, you'll remember the king tried to suit him in his own armor, but it tells us it was untested. I'll tell you what, 5 smooth stones and the sling of a shepherd boy was far better that day than the king's armor. Why? Because a small thing given to a great God is far better than whatever greatness man has to offer. Today, I don't know what your circumstances are, where you are, what season you're in, but today, if there is any excuse, "If I had more," here's God. What's in your hand? Do you have 5 minutes? Do you have an hour? Do you have a day? When you allow what is yours, it was Moses' staff. But remember, by the time he began his journey, he took along with him God's staff. When you give what's yours to him, and this week God's been reminding me of that, that my time, when it becomes God's time, incredible. What can be achieved and accomplished. When I take the little money that I have and give it to God, no telling what can be done. If I would allow my home to become his home, I'm humbled by the friends that I have who've had half the house that I do and have an open door. The people they've touched, the lives that they've changed simply because they've said, I've got a couch you can sleep on. I'm humbled because they were willing to give out of their little. When my body becomes his vessel, when my life, his life. There's a verse in Zechariah that says it well. For who has despised the day of small things? But these seven will be glad when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are the eyes of the Lord which range to and fro throughout the earth. Do not despise the day of little things. Today, what little you have can be oh so great. But what God is calling us to today is obedience. That we would be willing to say yes and give it to him. There's always fear when you say yes. What if? And that was Moses' greatest fear. What if? What if they don't believe me? What if it doesn't work? What if? What if I give the money? Well, just as Moses, because he said no to God being in his mouth and speaking for him and giving them words, he missed seeing the greatness that God would do. If we stop, we may never see what can be if we won't. And today, this isn't a motivational speech to give more to the church. It's not a motivational speech to do more. So often we become human doings when we're supposed to be human beings. This isn't about guilt or shame, about attending more Bible studies and being more. That's religion. Religion is man's consistent and constant attempts to appease God or get to God. No, he was calling Moses into a relationship very different from religion, that he might know him and that in everything he might know that God is with him. That everywhere he goes, everything he did, everywhere he went, this God was with him. He was speaking to him. He was equipping him. But it starts with giving God the little things. You may only have a sling and 5 smooth stones. You may only have 2 copper coins. You may only have 5 minutes. But when you begin to put that in obedience to a great God, stand back and watch what can happen. I've seen incredible things done through the small and insignificant. Incredible ministries built out of shabby accommodations that no one saw value in. Do not despise the day of little things. Today, as we go out the door, you can expect a God who speaks to put his finger on your heart and remind you. God's always speaking. The question is, are we listening? And as you go out these doors, expect it. Last week we spoke of the conversation that we often have with God. If you remember my friend Hans Peter asking God about another beer, right? And you may find that still small voice as you get in your car and see that empty seat and you go, you've got room for one more. The amazing things that can happen when you'd be obedient. And you could say, what if, God, they're an axe murderer? That's my fear every time. What if they smell up my car? What if? There's a lot of what ifs, but you'll never know, you'll never see what God can do when he touches your heart and says, you got an extra seat, you got room for one more. Or when you pass that cup on the street and you have God touch your heart and go, you've got a few coins in your pocket. And you think, what if they spend it on? What if they misuse? What if? You'll never know what God can do with those few small coins if you don't. You're called to be obedient to what God calls you to. They're called to be obedient with what God's given them. As you go out your door and you see you've got an extra half hour, you should, and I think of the list of things I've even had this week, call this friend and encourage them. Do this and move this forward. Help your kids with this. Or spend half an hour on Facebook and waste it and feel rotten afterwards, right? God is constantly speaking. Oh, but it's just half an hour. I couldn't possibly get that much done. In obedience to God, that half an hour can change lives if you're willing to follow. Do not despise the day of little things. God specializes in little things. In fact, when he called the people of Israel, and we'll read this down the road in Deuteronomy, when he says, I called you as a nation, not because you were the greatest, but because you were the least of all people. Why? So that when they became great, no one could ever say, what an army, what a strategy, what a leader. All they could say is, what an incredible God. Today, God longs to use you in the big things and the little things. And today, if you are obedient in the little things, watch out. It actually tells us, if you keep reading, that those who are obedient and faithful in the little, God will give even more. Not for your comfort, just as we read. Not for your ease, but so that he might use your gift of liberty to give even more. As you are faithful with a little, he'll entrust you with even more. But today, it starts now. What's in your hand? And God may already be putting his finger on something that you've seen that's sitting around. And it may be time, it may be money, it may be resources, it may be a seat in the car, it may be, I don't know. But here's what God is calling you to: obedience. Stand back and watch. Let what's yours become his. And there's no telling what you'll see. Greater things does he long to accomplish than we could ever ask or imagine. This is the God we know. This is the God we trust. And this is the God we follow as we go out the doors, knowing that he's living, he's going before us, he's got us, he's holding us, he's keeping us, and he's moving us. But through the process, he's also shaping us if we'll allow him. Enjoy the adventure. You never know what's around the next corner. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that today you are called, you've called each and every one of us on a journey. And that journey today is not waiting for something miraculous to happen, not waiting for something magical, not waiting for more, but you meet each and every one of us where we are at today with what we have, what we've been given. Whatever level of intellect, whatever level of income, whatever level of home or homelessness, whatever level of health, whatever level of strength or weakness, ability or inability, today you've simply called us to say, yes, I am yours. Thank you that today, when weak vessels, weak people are put in your hands, when we become yours, the amazing can happen. And I just pray that as we go out and on this week, we can expect you to show us and shine a light on those things, that we can go and see your work, your hand, that we would be obedient to the call as we follow you on the journey. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you that you use weak and broken people. You use weak, simple, and small things. And if we would allow you, you lead us into greater and greater things. Thank you that today you go before us. And in that confidence alone, we worship you and we go to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.